Since the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage across the nation, there's been both acceptance and resistance. But at the Unitarian Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, I found strong support for the new law as the congregation prepares to celebrate the first same-sex wedding at the church. On this Sunday morning, the congregation at the Unitarian Church in Bowling Green is singing "We Are Gay and Straight Together." The song has verses about being justice-seeking people and a land of many colors. Forrest Halford is playing piano. He will marry his partner, Greg Willis, in this church in August. Halford found his way to this welcoming community after years in other churches.
I grew up in a Christian church. I grew up in a musical tradition. My mother was a musician at a church, and I sang in the choirs, and ultimately I played in churches and was a minister of music. Saved at 16 with a sinner's prayer, baptized in the Holy Spirit at 19, speaking in tongues, going to charismatic Pentecostal churches, and then backslid, whatever that means.
Backsliding was kind of a big thing.
I was outed. Somebody called up and said that basically told the preacher that I was gay. I was a quote-unquote practicing homosexual. Therefore, I could not be in a leadership position.
Willis also plays piano in the church. He says before the Supreme Court ruling, being a same-sex, unmarried couple meant they had to get powers of attorney so they could care for each other in case of emergency. Willis says that's all changed now with the new law.
It's kind of like getting our place at the table of society.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a matter of having people like us. It's getting the full protections, the full benefit of being a citizen.
We are standing on the side of love.
The Unitarian congregation sings about standing on the side of love. Bowling Green Unitarian minister Peter Connolly says standing on the side of love means supporting all relationships, and the new law does that.
It's an opportunity for people to have equal rights independent of what their sexual orientation is, an opportunity for people to participate more fully in the social and cultural rites of passage.
Connolly says the Unitarians are not living in their own little bubble of acceptance.
During the course of discussion after the sermon, it was mentioned that there are many churches in town who are railing against this and talking about it as an abomination and a desecration and an insult to religious traditions. So in that way, I expect things will be bubbling up in pockets. Kentucky, of course, is in what they call the Bible Belt, and so you can expect that there will be more resistance here.
Willis thinks that time is going to wear away resistance and bring more peaceful relationships in the community.
Religion has always had a tremendous importance on the national dialogue. That's changing. It's becoming more secular. Not only are more people not attending church or not part of a religion, they're not getting their cues from religion. They're getting their cues from what seems right or logical. Mm-hmm. And the church is, of course, very upset about that.
Halford says the best way to overcome resistance to same-sex unions is just to be who you are.
Their neighbors are going to understand they're just as
ordinary and boring as everybody else.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
As they prepare for their August 15th wedding, Halford and Willis are part of a community where being ordinary, in your own unique way, is accepted as the way to bring a little more peace on earth. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Rezaul Mahmoud is a professor at Western Kentucky University and associate director of the Kentucky Climate Center. He served on a National Climate Advisory Committee and says this is a good time for Kentucky leaders to look for opportunities related to new climate change policies.
The technology part of it, you know, that's a very important part that a lot of people, a lot of states or other countries are investing in energy-efficient technology, green technology. And they are going to be selling those things to other people.
Mahmoud said Kentucky can boost its economy by developing technology to address global warming, energy efficiency, and public health issues like the temperature changes that can affect pollen and allergies. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Most people, thankfully, never have to know what a rape kit is. It's a simple-looking box that holds samples taken from a rape victim. A sexual assault nurse examiner at the meeting described the procedure to collect those samples, which can take from 1 to 6 hours, as invasive and terrifying, especially after such a traumatic event. Michelle Kuiper of Louisville went through that rape kit procedure after she was pulled off her porch and raped by a stranger when she was a college freshman in 1994. She says the evidence in the rape kit eventually put that serial rapist in jail 17 years later.
I am going to go back to school now that he's put in prison. I feel free to be on campuses again.
The project by Auditor Edlin is to speed up processing of those rape kits in Kentucky so rapists can be prosecuted before they have time to attack other victims. Edlin will issue his report in September. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. State Representative Jim Gooch said Monday he will seek re-election as a Republican. He represents the 12th District of Kentucky. That includes McLean and Webster counties, as well as parts of Davis and Hopkins counties. His home city is Providence. He said his decision to switch parties is because of President Barack Obama's radical agenda, including environmental regulations and the push for gun control. Gooch chairs the Natural Resources and Environment Committee. He's the second House Democrat to switch parties since Governor Matt Bevin was elected in November. Two other Democrats accepted appointments from Bevin's administration. Special elections will be held to fill the four vacant seats. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. Fish are not fussy about dried-out Christmas trees. As a matter of fact, when the dried branches are lowered into lakes across Kentucky, the worn-out trees create brushy reefs where all kinds of fish can nest. The Christmas Tree to Fish Habitat Project is managed by the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources. The department's website at fw.ky.gov has a map and listings of drop-off points across the state for old trees that are free of tinsel and ornaments. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. The phone rings all day long at Hotel Inc., which has helped more than 600 people in Warren County with housing, utility bills, and food. But program coordinator Elizabeth Fielder Hicks says the agency can't really help those calling now because it's already out of funds for this year. And she says those who call usually need immediate assistance to get through a crisis.
We serve a lot of families that have two working parents. We serve a lot of elderly individuals. So our range goes from a few weeks ago when we had three newborns to, you know, elderly clients that are just experiencing maybe a death in the family.
Fielder Hicks says the need for assistance often increases during the holidays because many people have days off without pay, and children who usually get meals at school are home for the holidays. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. The Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence gave Kentucky a grade of F based on the state's failure to pass any significant gun control bills this year. One bill that was signed by former Governor Steve Beshear in 2015 and supported by the National Rifle Association was Senate Bill 67. That bill allowed more options for firearms training for people who want a concealed carry permit. Among the improvements suggested by the organization are background checks on private sales and imposing a waiting period on gun sales. Many other states received an F grade in the report, including Tennessee. States earning a D minus include Indiana and West Virginia. Ohio got a D rating. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller. The study examined the perception of fracking by 255 people who go to public parks in Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia. 33 of them were from Kentucky. One member of the research team was Tim Kellison, an assistant professor of tourism, recreation, and sport management at the University of Florida.
51% of Kentuckians said that they were unwilling to participate in recreational activities near a fracking operation. 38% of our five-state sample said that, so about a 13-point difference.
Kentucky residents who responded to the survey said they go to seven different state and national parks, including Barron River Lake State Resort Park, Cumberland Falls State Park, and Mammoth Cave National Park. Members of the research team were also from Florida State University and North Carolina State University. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Rhonda Miller.